Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto thee, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our salvation. Amen. Thank you for that beautiful music that we've had all morning, but I'm going to see a victory, you know, it's because we know how the story ends, amen? Some of us are hanging on by a thread, right? Some of us are just trying to get one foot in front of the other, but we need to be reminded that we will see a victory. We will not suffer defeat. We know how the story ends. Jesus wins. What the devil meant for bad, Jesus hanging on the cross, God meant for good, because it was through the cross that he forgave our sins, and it was through the resurrection that he went back into heaven and left the door open for all of us to come to him in faith. And it kind of ties into my message. I'm just not out here rambling with absolutely no purpose. There is a little purpose to it. And the little purpose is to tie it into what our gospel reading is for today. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Our gospel reading begins with as Jesus came back across the lake. Okay. Remember last week we talked about Jesus taking a mission trip. He had left this side of the lake where he'd returned to, where there were huge crowds pressing against him so that he might even be crushed. And he gets into the boat to teach. And when evening comes, he tells his disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake. Well, what's on the other side of the lake? Gentiles, demon-possessed people, people that are not Jews. Why bother doing that? Well, because the gospel is for only the Jews. No, the gospel's for all people, not just us Lutherans. It's, okay, Methodists, Baptists, Muslims, atheists. The gospel's for everybody. That's our mission trip. And Mark is telling us that when you take a mission trip, when you bring the gospel to people who are not believers, there's going to be stormy waters. And we remember how that story went. It's a storm. When he gets there, there's a man there that's possessed by many demons. So many demons, they call him Legion. And he drives the demons out of this man into this 2,000 pigs. That's a big case of deviled ham, isn't it? And he runs them off of the edge of the cliff, and they all drown, and they're all dead. Well, the people flip. They said, you're too expensive for our commerce. You get out of here. So Jesus gets back in the boat, and he goes back. Well, the crowd's still there, and this is where we pick up our gospel reading for today. It's a huge crowd, but there's two people in particular that this gospel lesson in Mark chapter 5 single out. One of them is a man of status, a man of means, a man of position. His name is Jairus. He's a synagogue ruler. He's got a lot of things, probably wealth, but he's got a problem. His daughter, 12-year-old daughter, sick and is on the very brink of death. She's hanging on by a thread, and he's beside himself. Now, the synagogue, what is their official position about Jesus as a teacher? Not good, right? The temple was always trying to find ways to kill him. They called him a blasphemer. They called him that he was possessed by a devil. They said he was out of his mind. And yet, this man, Jairus, who was a synagogue ruler that represented those views toward Jesus, ran out of options. So what do you do when you run out of options? You grab whatever you can. So he'd heard about Jesus, so he decides to do it. Now you might wonder, why would a man whose daughter's sick leave his daughter and journey out to find Jesus? Why not send somebody else? Now I'm entering into the realm of speculation here. This is what I think. I think it was because nobody else in the synagogue would go. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus. So he had to go himself. So he goes himself. In this big crowd, he finds Jesus. He falls down at his feet and he says, come, please, my daughter's dying. Lay your hands on him and heal her. He believes that Jesus can do it. So Jesus says, okay. So they set off to Jairus' house. On the way there, this other person that's a focus of our reading, a woman, she's not even named. We don't even know what her name is. But what we do know about her is that she's had a bleeding issue for 12 years. And we might say, well, that must be uncomfortable. Well, it's a lot more than just being uncomfortable in Jesus' day, because a bleeding problem was one of the three big things that made you unclean. Skin issues like leprosy, bleeding issues, sexual issues, being around dead things made you unclean. Now, if you were unclean, that meant that anything that you touched would be unclean. She wouldn't be able to go to a worship service. She wouldn't be able to sweep the sidewalk in front of her house, if they had sidewalks, because whatever she touched was unclean. She couldn't do the dishes. She couldn't sleep in her husband's bed. Anything she touched, she was an outcast for 12 years. And it's not that she didn't try. She must have been a woman of some means, because it says that she had spent all of her wealth on doctors. But yet, instead of getting better, she got worse. Now, there's a parallel story to this in the Gospel of Luke. You guys remember that Luke was a doctor, right? Luke tells the story, but he conveniently leaves out the part about the doctors fleeced her for everything that she had. By accident? No, I think not. So anyway, she has a plan in her mind. She's heard about Jesus, and that she's also desperate. She's also on her last thread, hanging by a thread. She's desperate. She hears about Jesus. So her plan is, I don't want to interrupt him, because anybody I touch, I could be stoned to death for being out among all the people. I need to sneak up on him, and I need to touch the hem of his garment. I don't even need to get his attention. That will be enough, and I'll be healed. There's two things that went wrong with her plan. The first one was, she touched the hem of Jesus, and sure enough, she was healed. She felt in her body that her blood flow had dried up and that she was restored. But the problem was, Jesus knew. He felt power go out of him. Now, I don't know how he felt power go. I don't know if he had like a meter, like a San Diego Gas and Electric thing on him, that's the little thing spun when power was going out of him. I don't know how it was, but he knew. He knew that someone had touched him. So he turns around and he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples go, "What? Come on, you gotta be kidding. Look at the crowd around you. And you can ask who touched you?" Well, Jesus knows the difference between a jostle and a healing. And he's looking for this woman. And so this woman, who's been healed, that went right, but now she's called out. She knows. And so she falls at his feet. Meanwhile, where's Jairus? Jairus is standing there too, like, "My daughter's dying. Hello, Lord." So she falls on the ground at Jesus' feet, and she confesses everything. What Jesus is going to say to her? "You know, you should be stoned to death because you didn't keep the purity rules of the Pharisees." Jesus, look, here's a woman that's, people have been yelling unclean. Here's a woman that can't go anywhere, but there's community, for 12 long years. And Jesus looks at her and calls her daughter. Can you get any more intimate than that? Daughter. It's the only time in Scripture that Jesus calls anyone daughter. He's calling this woman daughter. He's restoring her into his family. Do you remember a time earlier in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus, the crowds forced Jesus into this room to teach, and there's so many people that he can't even eat. The people think he's out of his mind. So his family, his mother and his brothers come, and they say to him, "Lord, your mother and your brothers are outside." And Jesus looks at the people that are in the room with him and says, "Who are my mothers and my brothers? Those who do the will of God are my mother, my brothers, and my sisters." Do you know who that makes you? That do the will of God, that makes you a daughter. It makes you a son. Isn't that amazing? Jesus looks at this woman and doesn't chew her out. He calls her daughter. Now here's the second thing that goes wrong. While Jairus is standing there looking at his watch, his daughter's dying, sure enough, someone shows up. Someone shows up, says, "Your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." So while Jesus is healing someone else dies. Now that's something I think we need to take a look at. Because how many of you know that that's the way life is? Some people get healed and some people die. We know how this story ends, just as we know how our stories are going to end. When we close our eyes at last to this life and open them up to life eternal, but I'm not there yet. I just jumped ahead. Spoiler alert. The battle belongs to the Lord, and the Lord has won the victory for us all. So don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter is dead. So Jesus says to him, don't be afraid, just believe. So Jesus goes with Peter, John, and James, and Jairus. They go to the house. They go to the house, and everybody's wailing and moaning and grieving. And Jesus goes, why are you doing all this? They go, well, the little girl's dead. And he goes, no, she's just asleep. And they laughed at him. So he drove them out of the house. I wonder how he got them out of the house. I guess if you're Jesus, you can do pretty much anything. But he got them all out of the house. He brought in the three disciples, the parents, into this little girl's room. Took her hand and said, Talitha kum, little girl, I say to you, get up. And she got up, started walking around, and then I love this part. He said, give her something to eat. I guess being dead gives you a big case of the munchies. give her something to eat. Well, how great is that? We'll get back to that in a little bit. Let's review a few things. One of the things is this woman that came to Jesus was looking for a something. She was looking for a cure. But that's not enough for Jesus. Jesus is never looking for a something. He's looking for a someone. Being a discipleship to Jesus isn't about getting all of our needs met. I mean, it's great when that happens. But what discipleship really is forming a relationship with Jesus Christ, the creator of everything visible and invisible. See, Jesus wants not just be checking in on parts of your life. He wants your heart. He wants all of you. So it wasn't enough that Jesus would just heal her. He wanted her to know her. He wanted her to know his mercy. He wanted her to experience his grace and not just the healing. In fact, when he said, your faith has healed you, the Greek word is sozo. It means healing and it means salvation. It means saved. Your faith has healed you to the point where you have salvation. Why? Because Jesus is present. Wherever Jesus is at is where salvation is. For those of us that will reach out just to touch the hem of his garment. Wow. Exploring a little deeper this idea that some people are healed and some people are not. We know it to be true. In the Gospel of Mark, Chapter 1, it tells us that people were bringing, the whole city came out, and people were bringing all the people that were sick, and Jesus healed many. He doesn't say he healed them all. He says he healed the many. And you know, this little girl that Jesus raised from the dead, have any of you talked to her lately? Do you have a contact information? No, why? Well, she's been dead for about 2,000 years. It's just a temporary stop. Amen? All the healings that Jesus did were temporary. People died anyway. We all need to know that there's going to come a time when the warranties on our moving parts are going to expire. And that's the time when this life ends. Every day we're getting closer, folks. I don't mean to be morbid. I'm just being realistic about it. Any kind of healing that we see in the doctor's offices or at the medical things, they're wonderful. They're great. But they're just a reminder of that great healing that's going to happen when we breathe our last here on earth. When we open our eyes, when we fall asleep to this life and open our eyes to have Jesus holding our hand that says, child, I say to you, get up. And then I hope he says to me too, give him something to eat. Because the Bible talks about that great heavenly banquet. Now, we're not there yet. Jesus was breaking into the kingdom of God. He said the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. See, the eternal God has broken into our temporal world to give us a taste, a foretaste of what is to come. And what is to come is life everlasting. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 says, "The world as we know it is becoming the kingdom of God and his Christ." It's happening here among us in this life. In the next life, it will be completely fulfilled. And I just love the picture that this shows, that this little girl closed her eyes in death, and when she opened them up, she looked into the face of pure love. She looked into the face of Jesus Christ, who took her hand and said, "Child, I say to you, rise." That's what we have to look forward to for all of eternity. Whether we are healed here on this earth or not, we will be healed forever by the touching hand of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.